this up. Trisha's Chaim set this up. I want to talk Erev Yontif, really. Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontif. But this Shabbos Bamidbar is really a Hakdama to Shavuos. And Chazal put Shabbos Bamidbar in place intentionally that we should read Parshas Bamidbar before Shavuos. It's always like that. It's done by design. And so we're going to talk about Bamidbar, but it's all a lead up to Matan Torah. So this week, Vaydavar Hashem Moshe Aaron Neymor. So Hashem tells Moshe and Aaron, Ish al diglo va'osos levesa v'osom yachenu b'nei Yisrael. So he tells them that they should set up camp. Baisho should set up camp. Mineged saviv la'ol moed yachenu, around the ol moed. But the way he describes that they should set up camp is Ish al diglo, is that each man, each shevet, should be by his flag. And it's a novel concept, at least this far, if you get this far in Torah. Before this, Klal Yisrael was, you could argue Klal Yisrael was already a nation before Matan Torah. And the nation that came together after Kriyas Yamsuf, after Yitzias Mitzrayim, that nation was just as deserving of a flag as any other nation in the world. But for some reason now, at this point, before Matan Torah, or we'll see in a second, maybe after Matan Torah, but somehow connected to Matan Torah, there was a new tzivui that Klal Yisrael should camp around the Ol Moed with the golan, flags. I'll try to describe more about flags, but flags, at least on the surface, seem like a camp kind of thing. Even if you go big, like nationalistic, it's a nice thing. Flags are a nice thing, but to learn that a flag is ma'akiv in a part, in a chelik of what Hashem demands of Klal Yisrael, I would say, surprising, a little surprising. And the Medrash describes what these flags look like. Reuven had a red flag, and on the flag he had dudayim. Dudayim are the flowers, some kind of flowers that the Maisa from Yaakov Avinu. And Shimon had a green flag, and on Shimon's green flag had a picture of Shechem. I'm assuming the place and not the person. I don't know what the place exactly, a skyline, maybe a Shem. Levi was red, white, and black, very close. And he had on it the Urim Batumim. So he had on each flag, the Medrash describes, different colors and different images on each flag. And I think it's Kedai to wonder, what's the necessity, what's the purpose, what's the Hashem's interest in having flags? So the Medrash brings an amazing ma'aseh. When Hashem revealed Himself on Har Sinai, Yardu imo chav beis revavo shamalachim. There's a few gersoos here. A few gersoos, how many exactly? But we'll say 22,000. 22,000 malachim, angels, came down towards Har Sinai with their Ribbono Shel Olam. V'hayu kulam asuyim degolim degolim. They all had flags. All the angels, they came down with flags. Interesting. Not how I pictured it. Kevon Shiro Osan Yisrael, when the Jews saw these angels, Shemasuyim Degolim Degolim, that they came down with all these flags, Hischilu Misavim LeDegolim, they started to crave flags. A lot of cravings out there. Flag cravings that I haven't heard. I've seen people who look like they crave flags. It's a different discussion. But real flag cravings in this Medrash. Klal Yisrael, they yearned for flags. Amru, and they said, Halavai kach anu nasim de golem kamosim. We want to be flagged up like these angels. These angels are flying around. Flying around with all these flags. We also want to be flagged up like the angels. So Hashem responds, Amru lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chayechem, you can bet on it. Shani mamale mishal oseichem, I'm going to fulfill your wishes. Miyad hodia Kodesh Baruch Hu v'amr l'moshe leich aseosam degolim kemoshen esavu. Go fill their cravings. They're yearning, they're starving for flags. Give them a couple flags. Give Klal Yisrael a couple flags. And it's strange because the Medrash immediately prior to this Medrash says yesh l'humos degolim. But there were flags in the world. All of the nations had flags at this point. It wasn't like if you research what's the origin? When did flags historically come to be? You're not going to find, Har Sinai, desert. The nations, they had flags already, the Medrash says. But ve'ein chaviv olai el adiglo shel Yaakov. The Rebbeinu Shalom says, I'm only interested in one flag, shenemar diglu olai ahav. That flag, oh, I love that flag. Hashem also loves flags. There's this obsession, this love, this crave for flags from us, from Hashem. So I'm wondering why, when we saw the Malachim, what triggered a craving suddenly for a flag? And I'm also wondering more than that, why does a Malach need a flag? I mean, when you talk about nations or groups of people, I can understand why people, why nations want flags to create unity, to create a common bond of some sort. But a Malach, what is in the flag? I mean, it's cute for you want to draw a picture, it's a cute picture to envision, but I don't even know what a flag is, I don't know why it's needed, and for sure I'm trying to figure out why a Malach, Bechlal, would need a flag. So I think flags have become pretty popular the last few decades. But particularly in the last few years, if you look around, so there are flags that have made a lot of noise in recent months, recent years. And obviously college campuses and a lot of events that go on across the world. There's a lot of, I think it's red, green, and black flags flying around. And they make a lot of noise, these flags. And there was a Maisa last week in Washington that a guy pulled out another flag. To you, it doesn't look like a flag. They don't call it a flag. They call it a keffiyeh. But a keffiyeh is a flag. It's a flag. So the red, green, and black is a flag of a debatable country, Suffolk country. And the keffiyeh is a flag of an intifada. I don't know exactly what that represents, but Mustama, like all the good guys over our history, they like to kill Jews. So some kind of representation of genocide of Klal Yisrael. And then if you don't like that kind of chevra, say you buy yourself some kind of MAGA flag or a red hat to make yourself feel good. But you go on college campuses, there's a clear interest. Youth, it's young people. Youth have a clear interest in trying to develop their identity or trying to, they're grappling. They're going to look for anything to feed their interest in developing some form of identity. They're looking desperately for purpose, and any morsel of ideology that's thrown their way, they grab onto it. So I always wonder, you know, thank the good Lord, we're brought up with good values and with good history and good morals. But I wonder if we weren't, and a lot of Jews unfortunately aren't, and they're put on these campuses, they're put in these environments, and they wave those flags, and the keffiyehs and the Palestinian flags, and it's not easy to say that you wouldn't. It's not easy to say that. Because, again, just like you in yeshiva, just like guys in yeshiva who are searching for identity, trying to figure themselves out and what they believe in, and the things that are thrown your way, you grab onto because it sounds good. So in their world, they're thrown also moral ideologies of anti-genocide. And the flag today, again, I'm not saying obviously my thoughts, but I'm just talking reality. The flag today, if you believe in anti-genocide, is a Palestinian flag. If a person is anti-genocide, the simon, the symbol, the banner for that is a Palestinian flag. So I wonder that if we weren't brought up with such good values and such clear guidance and direction about Torah's emes and Klal Yisrael's emes and Ribbono Shel Olam's emes, then it seems very reasonable to believe that we might also be waving those flags. And flags, they have a lot of power because they represent different demographics of society. I one time was in the city when I was in YU. I was driving through the city and there was a parade over there and they were waving a lot of flags. And you were lucky that they were waving a lot of flags, because if you got too close, you would see things you would never want to see. A healthy person wouldn't want to see those things be going on in public. But thank God there's a lot of flags that they wave over there to warn anybody who's coming close, just beware before you get too close. There's things happening here, you probably don't want to see. So I said thank you and shkayach, and I went the other direction. I appreciate that very much, because flags are a warning sign. They're a warning sign. And when I want to know what kind of people you are, or what kind of people, or what I feel about those kinds of people, the first thing they do is they'll burn your flag. Before they get to you, they're going to burn your flag. Because your flag is their way in. So for some reason, there's a kasa, there's a svara to it. For some reason, the flag is the way in. They'll burn your flag to warn you, to give you an advance. This is what I want to do to you. It's like we hold the chickens on Erev Yom Kippur. For them, it's flags. This is what I want to do to you, what I'm doing to the flag. But I'm on my way. And be warned. And lahavdil, in the other direction, if the flag is your demographic, that not only you wave it, if you're a real guy who believes in what you believe in, there's something called in Hebrew, I love this phrase, comical to me, something called daglanut. If you went to Moshava, you know what I'm talking about. Daglanut is the art of waving flags. It's apparently an art like this, daglanut. I don't know, you have to like know the rhythm and all these kinds of wrist movements. I'm not sure how it works. And not just you get into the daglanut shebo, but you, if you're really into it, you don't wave. If you're serious about your flag, you don't wave. You drape. You wrap yourself in the whole flag. What's underneath? You're wearing clothes, you're not wearing clothes, nobody needs to know. But you drape yourself in the flag. Why? There's a taiva. You want it to be very close. Very close to you. Where does that taiva come from? The Har Sinai. Har Sinai came such a taiva of flags. You want to wrap it around and feel close and connected to it. But most of these flags are just constructs of ideology and unity and power, pride, all kinds of ideas. But angels don't have this stuff. Angels are not looking for pride and power and ideology. What angels need flags. So I want to say a vart. I'll tell you a vart. I thought of this today. I hope it's a good vart. We say that. I've been saying davening for many years. You've also been saying many years. I didn't know what I was saying until today. I thought of a vart. We say Tekah b'shofar gadol l'chir seinu. Hashem should blow the great shofar to free us from the exile, from the gadol. V'son neis. And raise the flag to gather Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael. And I was sitting, dwelling on it today, and I said to myself, that's strange. It should really say, Tekah b'shofar gadol l'chir seinu, blow a great shofar to free us, u'tekah b'tzgal yosein, and gather us from the exiles. Why does Hashem need to wave a flag in the middle? I don't understand. What the flag is necessary in that bracha in Shmon Esrei. Without the flag, it would be just as good of a bracha. Haraya, nobody ever noticed the flag in the bracha. Maybe nobody noticed the bracha in the bracha. But for sure, if you noticed the bracha, you probably didn't notice the flag. And if you did notice it, maybe you wondered, why is there a flag in the bracha? I wondered. So I'll tell you a vort about this bracha that I think is emes. The Medrash also describes, one more Medrash and I'll tell you. Chiba gedola chavavon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem gave Klal Yisrael a great chiba, great love. She'asam degolim, when he gave them the flags. It was a great expression and demonstration of love that Klal Yisrael received with reception of that flag. Quotes a pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Haviani el beis hayayin v'diglu alai ahava, and flag me with love. Now I want to learn this phrase together. Flag me with love. It's like a cool verb, you know. Nouns that turn into verbs, I think, are very, very cool. And it's a noun that became flag me with love. So one pshat I naturally think is that you flag me with love. I picture the guy who, you know, wraps himself in the flag, and it's a flag me with love. I'm learning flag means drape. You flag me with love. You drape me with ava. It's one pshat. But I don't know if you know, malachim. I don't know if malachim need that. So I'll tell you what I think. When you see the stars and stripes, you know, after 9/11, every decent American hung up a flag on their front lawn. And when you saw that flag after 9/11, there was this feeling, a great, beautiful feeling of unity and connection. And if you ask somebody what they were connected to, what they felt, that's why, by the way, again, not to get involved in nonsense, but that's why, by the way, when people started kneeling during the Star Spangled Banner, it's a big chutzpah, because the flag brings chever together. And after 9/11, it brought a lot, after the Boston Marathon bombing, it brought a lot of chever together. And it makes people feel connected to whatever it represents. And so we're all connected to the flag and all that it represents, and the stars and stripes and the 50 stars and the 13 stripes and everything that the flag says, the flag talks, we're all connected to the flag. But when you raise a flag with dudayim, some kind of flower, you raise a flag with Shechem. You hear this? Shechem. Shevet Shimon, they daglanuted their flag, and what were they waving? Shechem. The city of Shechem. It's so counterintuitive. Shevet Shimon, the holiest people on the planet, are waving a flag of barbarians. People who were, I don't want to say what they did, barbarians. That's Shechem is on their flag. That's what we're connecting to. So then I chapped what Malachim need flags for. Malachim don't need flags to be reminded of their mission. They know their mission. They don't need flags to be reminded what they connect to, what they're unified with. They know clear. Malachim don't have bechira chafshis. They're sent on a mission, they do the mission. They don't ask questions. Malachim don't have flags for them. Malachim have flags because they're inevitably connected eternally and held by the Ribbono Shel Olam. And when you're held by the Ribbono Shel Olam, it makes a fingerprint. There's a fingerprint that lands on a malach when Hashem is not letting go. When Hashem sends a malach on a mission, he's an extension of the Yad Hashem, and he goes on a mission to do, and the fingerprint doesn't move away from the malach. Because the malach is the Yad Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Klal Yisrael saw all these malachim that were deeply connected, inherently, naturally, and permanently connected to their Ribbono Shel Olam, and were about to be Makabel the Torah, and Klal Yisrael sees this amazing, incredible existence of how connected a malach is to the point that Hashem can't let go, and he's flagged up by the Ribbono Shel Olam. And we say, the Torah? I want the Torah. And Klal Yisrael to be unified as a nation? I want Klal Yisrael to be unified as a nation. But more than the Torah, and more than the unity as a nation, what really deeply I'm looking for, and yearning for, and craving for, is I want that the hold that you have on me now at Har Sinai, the hold that you have on me now at Mount Torah, I want that hold to be so ever-present and non-stop, even when this mountain dies down, even when the smoke and the thunder and the lightning goes away, I want that fingerprint. Because on the Malachim, that fingerprint is eternal. That fingerprint is everlasting. And I want that fingerprint on you. So Hashem says, that's something to crave. To crave that Diglu Alai Ava, to always be able to see that the Ribbono Shel Olam is in that constant love affair with you, to see and smell and be aware that the Ribbono Shel Olam is constantly holding you, to be able to notice that and recognize that, what greater, what more important thing could a person crave? And for that, the Ribbono Shel Olam says, each one, it's going to have where we started. And Shimon, we started in Shechem. That love affair, you got up in Shechem and you fought for what you believe in. Ah, Shechem was where we found each other. And Reuven, we found each other with the Dudaim. And Levi, we found each other with the... I'm going to go back to the history. Not tell you what your mission is in the future, but tell you where we started in the past. And once we started in Shechem, I never let go. And I don't plan on letting go. So we say to Kabbalah Shofar, God Elohim Seinu, you have a big problem. Hashem's going to blow a big shofar. And the exile is going to, we're going to hear this big shofar blast, and everybody's going to hear it, and they're going to know, oh, came time, the Geula. And you know what's going to happen? Nobody gets on a plane. Nobody's going to get on a plane. I'm not talking about because you're comfortable. I'm not talking about because you want to stay in wherever you are. You feel disconnected. The Geula? The Geula is for tzaddik. The goal is for people who are deeply connected to Ribbono Shel Olam. but I flounder and I have ups and downs. And Bifrat, there's a lot of Jews today. There's a lot of Jews today who never heard of the Ribono Shel Olam. So these Jews all over the world don't know, never heard the Ribono Shel Olam, don't know much about Yiddishkeit. Torah is so far into them. They're going to see Takah b'shofar gadol acher. There's going to be a loud shofar. And they're not going to know what to do with it. They're not going to be interested in doing anything with it because they have no relationship with that. V'sonais, but we daven sonais. And then after you blow the shofar, wave the flag. Wave the flag on, drape us in the flag. Diglu alai avu. Diglu alai avu means when you flag me, not you flag me in love. When you flag me with Shechem and Urim Betumim and Dudoim, when you flag me, avu. Now I know. Now every Jew in Arba Kanfos Haaretz, across all the Golios, knows that the Ribono Shel Olam never let go. And you're not coming? Then I'm not going. And I want each and every one of you. But first and only, V'sonais, wave that flag. And embrace us with that flag. And show us the imprint, the fingerprint that never left us from when it originated. And then, Tekabetz Gol Yosenu. We live today in a world that's hard to remember that the Ribono Shel Olam is always here. Always here. And you know, Chaim, I said, Rishus Chaim, we have this nice gathering tonight. Rishus Chaim, and we don't have a lot of gatherings like this. And I asked myself, what do I want to say if first of all, there's not so much time left? And second of all, we don't have an opportunity to come together so often. One thing, and I'll say it again and again and again, ad nauseum, till you throw up from this message, that the Ribono Shel Olam is deeply craving you, deeply yearning for you, and it's present with the flags that you can't see, and we live in a world we can't see, but the fingerprint he put on every malach, he put on every yid, and sometimes you don't see, and you don't feel, and you don't notice, and you don't observe. And imagine a world where you did. Imagine a life that you did. Imagine how different you would be if you did. Imagine the decisions you would make if you did. Imagine how you would choose things, and how you would think about things, and your attitudes and behaviors if you did. So just know that nothing changed. The same Diglu Alai Avo by Har Sinai is the same Diglu Alai Avo that's this Shabbos as a Hakdama, as an introduction to Sunday night, to Matan Torah. Because you can't go on Har Sinai if you get flagged up. And when you got flagged up, you know then, Diglu Alai, then, you know, Avo. And now Hashem wants me so badly on Har Sinai. You know, some guys, you hear this, a Seder, Sunday night, a very short Seder. I was going to say long, but it's not long. Very short Seder. 6 hours. Extremely short Seder. What 6 hours? That's like a guy does it in 10 minutes. It takes 10 minutes to do a 6-hour Seder. Very short Seder. And people get a little nervous. A long Seder, 6 hours. Of course you get nervous. Because nobody needs you there. Because that's how you think, that nobody needs you there. Who needs you there? Well, what do you need to be there for? So you're there, you're not there. You sleep, you're awake. You're learning, you're not learning. And by the Ribono Shel Olam, every malach gets flagged up with Av. And you should know, you're not different. You're not worse. You're much better. The flag that he gave to you is much better. And Meretz Hashem, it should be a Hakdama. We should take off from Shabbos of Diglu Alai Avo into Matan Torah. Shkayach et Shabbos.